I just want to first extend a deep thank you for many hands and feet and hearts that showed up yesterday here at the community center as they prepared and set up and welcomed and were amongst our guests for our first Gathering Church Community Christmas dinner. We had 80 people registered, and we had probably close to 200 people show up. We thought that we had enough supper for seconds, and we hardly had any left for leftovers, and we rejoice in that. I want to thank Amanda and Andy particularly. Amanda and Andy, stand up. Amanda's over there. Amanda and Andy took on the task of being our lead chefs. And then that kind of trickled out to all were involved. And then I'd like if I could have my potato peelers to stand up and my lettuce cutters to stand up, please, and my table setters and setter-uppers to stand up, the coffee makers to stand up, guests who came to stand up, Jonathan and Kendra, thank you. And I just would like to say, if you can picture this gym, we had tables set for 150. And we set them in big squares, and then we needed to divide the tables so that we could make individual tables instead of the big squares. And people came, and we had conversation, and we had joy, and we had enough food to leave full. And so, Gathering Church, thank you for being a community of peace, and of generosity, and of invitation, and how great it was to share Christmas dinner with people who are becoming friends as they are our neighbors. So thank you. Do you like to hear people's stories? Do you ever find yourself returning to a story that someone has told you when you find yourself in a similar situation? Stories are a great way from learning from others. Stories often help us to make sense of what is going on around us, to make sense of the things in life that we are experiencing. And sometimes stories can become the lens through which we work, which we see something in a new way. And stories can move people to do great things. We hear of someone, what they did, and we are thinking, oh, I'm inspired, and through that story, I can also go on and do something great. Stories can also inspire us just to take one more step ahead in our journey. So because I heard that person's story, how they handled the situation that I might be in now, I'm encouraged to take one more step forward instead of backwards because their story has given me a direction and encouragement to go. I love hearing other people's stories. Love it. I actually live for it. I also love to hear the stories of Scripture and applying those stories into my life and into the life of us as a community. I also like to tell the stories from my life. And in my mind, there's actually a great compilation of the stories that you have graced me with and the story of my own life that God has given to me and the stories of those that I read about. And I often read through this compilation that's stored in my mind, in my heart, when I'm facing similar situations or when I'm walking alongside someone in a situation that aligns with a story of someone else's life that I have heard. And when I grab, or what I grab from those stories are where that person found peace or strength or comfort or a new way out of that situation that they were in. And so, I'm going to start this message with a story from my past week. As most of you know, we hold a Build-A-Lunch program here at Chandler Mowat Community Center every Wednesday morning. And the kids come, and we sit around tables, and we have breakfast together, and conversation, and laughter, and yes, a little bit of chaos. And then we send them off to school with a healthy lunch. And again, if you know me, you would know that I love Wednesday mornings. And if you know me, you know that I do not like mornings. And so it is quite odd for me that on Wednesday mornings, when my alarm goes off for sure an hour and a half earlier than it does any other day, I jump out of bed, I get ready quickly, it doesn't matter what the weather is like, and off I go to Chandler Mowat Community Center with hope and joy and just a feeling of this is what I love to do, God. Thank you. So this week, it felt very odd to me that within about 10 minutes of one of our guests arriving, I felt annoyed at this child. I let this child get under my skin, and I was even like, huh, that's weird. That's not typically who I am. And I even complained to Claire as this kid continued to get on my nerves. And I actually even talked to this little guy and said, hey, at Build a Lunch, this is not how we behave. I need you to kind of shift your behavior. And I was rushing through Build a Lunch and trying to get everything done. And what I realized for me that morning was this absence of joy and this absence of peace that usually flows here, around me, and from me. And that day when I paused and thought about it, I recognized that the child wasn't giving me angst. It was Catherine who was giving herself angst. I had filled my life last week way beyond my margins, way beyond the way that I like to live. I'd gotten out of bed in the morning. I'd raced here. I wanted to race through the morning. I had something to get to afterwards. I hadn't stopped to pray. I hadn't stopped to invite the Prince of Peace to come into my life to be a peace person. And I certainly was not in the place to allow these children to be an offering of peace and of God's love to me. And it was a reminder that before I serve in the name of God, in the name of love, that I first need to make sure that I'm connected. Rachel started off beautifully saying that is often our intention and we miss that, but we can return to it. And I had missed it big time and therefore missed out on a great opportunity for what was going on this Wednesday morning. As you also know, last night we hosted our Christmas dinner. And because I was involved in that from the beginning, I decided what I would do is I would come early, I would park my van in front of the community center, and I would pray. And I would usher in the Prince of Peace into my own life so that therefore I could be an offering. I prayed over our neighborhood here, and I prayed over each of the people that would be coming to be people of peace, people of service. And as it typically happens when one pulls into Chandler Mowat Community Center, there are kids running around outside. The center was locked, and so all of a sudden my van is converged on by four kids from the community that I know. And they knock on my window, Catherine, Catherine! And I can feel that there's something alarming going on in these kids. So I roll down my window and I said, hey guys, what's up? And they said, we just met a really bad adult. And I'm like, oh, a really bad adult. And they said, we were sliding down the hill in a parking lot over there, and this adult came out and yelled at us and said, you can't slide down that hill because you're putting snow on this parking lot. And we're mad at this adult. And then they went a little further and told me how stupid this adult was and how bad this adult was. And so I said to them, hey, do you think that we can stop for a minute? And can we replace that bad old adult with an adult who wants to be a good adult for you? And we talked about what it would mean for them to replace what we'll call a grumpy adult, who I was last Wednesday, a grumpy adult with an adult of peace and of love. And so I said, I promise today to be an adult of kindness and of peace for you if we can forget about the adult that wasn't that way to you. Well, they were cold and they all wanted to hop into the van, but the van was full of potatoes and lettuce and turkeys and whatnot. And so I said to them, well, you can't hop in the van. I'm sorry, there's no room. But what they said then is, then can we clean your van? So what happened is, there is this woman of peace, of prayer, sitting in her van, and these four wonderful children, for their own joy and for a replacement of what had been that morning, I think they took every little piece, flake of snow off of my van, and they invited me to say, how's it looking, Catherine? Can we climb up on your roof and take that snow down? But I say that to you as a story that warmed me yesterday, because we can be replacement people in other people's journeys. We can be people of peace amidst the busyness, the quick pace, the overwhelmness of life. We can be that, and our angst, our overwhelmness, our sorrows can be replaced with God's peace, with Jesus' peace. A beautiful end of that story is when I was telling the little guys, hey, do you remember that tonight is a Christmas party? And they said, we forgot. And I said, oh, yeah, in a couple of hours, we're going to have our turkey dinner. And two of them said, well, we're going to go home and change our clothes. And these little guys came back. They had put on dress shirts and vests and bow ties. And they were ready to sit at that dinner table with us. And so I begin our sermon, our message that way. And now what I want us to do is I want us to open and go into the stories, the narrative of Christmas. And what happens at this time of the year is we often revisit a story that we know, a story that has been told to us throughout our lives, maybe a story that you've just learned in the last year or two. But this story doesn't change. We come back into that story to look at it. And we wonder what each year is, what are we going to learn from? What are we going to celebrate from this story again this year? Maybe we ask ourselves a question, did I leave room for Christ within my life this year? Or what has God taught me on my journey as I have journeyed with the shepherds or the wise men or Mary and Joseph? What have I learned? Maybe it's a question of where has God surprised me this year? Lots of people in this Christmas narrative were very surprised by the message and direction of God. Where have I been surprised? And did I have the courage, like many of the story, to choose to follow where God was inviting me to go? Where did I experience Emmanuel this year? Where did I experience God with me? God with us? What was that experience? Did it come in a moment of great joy and great delight where I said, oh, God, you are with me. In this I rejoice. Or did it come at a sad, lonely, dark place what I didn't understand, but God descended into that? And I could say, or you could say, God, you are with me. You are Emmanuel. As we come into this fourth Sunday of Advent, our focus is on peace. And this focus really aligns with my life this last year, where God has many times given me the message saying, choose peace, Catherine. Fear has loomed all around, worry. And God has says, choose peace. And when I have, I can look back and say where peace led me to. So we're going to look at the Christmas narrative from the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. And I'm going to look at it through the voice of angels that came into this story many times. And they enter people's lives. And just before we kind of enter into where Mary is met, we hear about Zechariah, and Zechariah was a priest. So we know that Zechariah was a man of God, a man in the vocation of serving God. And he was married to Elizabeth. And scriptures tells us that Elizabeth was not able to conceive. Elizabeth was infertile. That is a theme of our culture today. There are people who struggle with not being able to have children. And it is a grievous time, and they are often on their knees asking. This couple was old. There seemed to be no hope in this area. And as we read their story, it is evidence that they prayed about this, and they had hoped together for a child, but it had not happened. And one day, Zechariah was at the temple performing his priestly duty, an angel appeared to him. And the scripture says, the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and he was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. Do not be afraid, Zechariah. It's interesting to me that Zechariah was in the temple, and you would go into the temple expecting, hoping for the presence of God. And yet when the presence of God showed up, his reaction was fear. He was startled, and he was gripped with fear. Let's hold that thought for a moment. Another angel appears, and this time the angel appears to Mary. And this angel says, greetings, Mary. You are highly favored. The Lord is with you. And by the way, You're going to conceive and give birth to a baby even though you're not married and you haven't been in sexual relationships with men, and all this because you are highly favored. Imagine being married just for a second. Because she is highly favored, God gives her this gift of difficulty, of maybe being ostracized from the community, of a gift that is going to demand her greatest courage possible. And the words of the angel are, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found the favor of God." The angel offers an encouragement to Mary and an affirmation to replace this fear that had overtaken Mary. In our fears, we can ask God for an opposite word, for a replacement word of that which is stirring up fear within us. "Fear not, you have found favor with God." This is the message that Mary has to take on as she enters into this huge calling in her life. Have you been invited into a huge calling this year or the year coming? Will you be able to, when you're invited into something that will take all your courage, to receive this same message that says, "Fear not, I love you. You've always found favor with me. You are mine." Joseph also received a visit from a messenger of God, and he was asleep, and the angel appeared to him in a dream, and the angel said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife." Again, do not be afraid? Are you kidding me? The woman that I'm engaged to, I now find out, is pregnant. I am going to be the laughingstock of this community. Joseph's deepest desire is to say, "I've got to end this engagement. I have to walk away from this." And that God says in this situation, "Don't be afraid to do that which I'm asking you to do. Do not be afraid." God's message really is to Joseph, "Joseph, be at peace. Even in this very difficult time of the unknown, I've got you. You can choose my peace." And finally, the shepherds. They're out in their field doing their thing. And suddenly, an angel appears. And that would be terrifying, maybe, but it was very terrifying for them. But the angel brings the exact same messages that the angels have brought to the others. It's his message from God that says to these shepherds, doing their own thing, tending to their flock, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people." The angel says, "You, I come to specifically with this message, but this is going to be a message for all people. Shepherds, you've been invited to the greater message for all humanity." And then the sky was filled with the angels, and the angels were saying, and they were praising, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." And so as the message of joy comes for all people, so does the message of peace for all. And I actually love the shepherds this year because they chose to receive the peace as a replacement of their fears. And then they actually went and did something. They said, "Hey, well, then let's go. Let's go see what's going on in Bethlehem. Let's go see that this work that God is doing." And they took this replacement of fear and peace, and they went on a journey towards where God was inviting them to go. Their fear was replaced. So I ask myself and I ask you, where has God invited you this season, this year, maybe your lifetime, to know peace instead of fear? To believe that there is a replacement of the emotion of fear or worry with one of peace. Let's read together Isaiah 9. Excuse me. It's up on the screen. And this is the announcement that came as a prophecy before Christmas, before the birth of Jesus. Let's read together. "For unto us, let's say together again, what will he be called? And he will be called this is the gift that was given to us in God, Emmanuel, God being amongst us. As Jesus came onto this earth and as Jesus grew, he gave messages all the way through about peace. And in John, it says, I have told you these things that you may have peace. That God has given us this whole scripture narrative, has given us the story of Jesus' life, of those around Jesus' life, that we might have peace. And Jesus says as he is departing, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I give you this offering of my peace. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Do you see that again? When we are entangled in fear or worry or stress or whatever that might be, that Jesus stands in front of us and he says, my peace I give to you. This is a replacement. So if I'm worried, I'm fearful, I'm angsty, I'm overwhelmed, I can take this gift that is being offered to me of peace and I can replace it and I can let that other go. But it's not easy. Rachel was great again in extending that story to us this morning, saying it's an intention. We want to bring peace into our lives, but it's often hard. We forget it or we displace it. But what we want to remember is that if our beings can find a route to fear or worry or being overwhelmed or frustrated, our beings can also find a route to peace. We have that capacity. Think of that again. If I can find a way to fear or worry, I also can find a way to peace, because peace is another destination offered to us. It's available to us. It's not so far away from us that we can't reach it or attain it. It is accessible. So how might we do that? How might we usher in the presence of the Prince of Peace? Rachel offered that one way to us, is that we can begin our day with a reflection. Another way that we can do that is to really know God's promises, to find some of those promises that relate specifically to you. It could be that I have plans to prosper you and to not to bring you harm, or a promise that your sins can be redeemed, that there are new beginnings available always, or the promise that there is comfort, the comforter within our brokenness, or that there will be strength in the times that we feel like we will stumble, and strength enough that we will be able to soar through that. Far be it from me to not believe, is that word line again in that song, it is well. I say that to myself, Catherine, don't be a person who disbelieves the promises that are given to you. Receive them, believe in them, and let them be what ushers peace in. Another way is to join with others. We have small groups operating, and one big joy for me is sitting with different groups of women, and we share our stories. We are encouraged by the way that God has entered into our lives. We also ask them to bear our burdens. So as they bear our burdens, there is room for peace to come into our lives right in that situation. Sharing life with others is so very, very important. Like the shepherds, we can do another thing. We can go and explore the places that God is calling us to go to. You, church, are a perfect example of this. God invited us to be aware of Chandler Mohawk Community. It happened a number of years ago. Totally, it was a message from God. And you, with us, explored. We explored. We explored. And here we are. Here we are delighting in the presence of God here and the journey that God has called us on as a church. So go to Bethlehem, as it were. Seek that peace out that God is inviting you to. Something else that we can do is to incorporate a time of replacement of our busy. So like yesterday, and I'm not always a great example because I live full. It's kind of how I like to live. Till I get over full, and then it's a problem. But yesterday, my replacement was to not do two more errands. So instead of 11:30 to 5 to 12, I could have got a couple things in that time. I chose to come. I chose to replace that time of busy with a time of sitting and being still and inviting God to come into my life and to over this place. It is a replacement. It is something that we consciously can put effort into. We can say to ourselves, Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And let that voice of God press out the fear and receive the peace that God has given to us. I'm going to invite Lois to come forward and to share with you her story of this past year. And so, Lois, come on up, please.
Is it on? Okay. Am I? Okay, you can hear me. Well, it's interesting we're talking about peace because in preparing for this, it wasn't so peaceful. So, you know, even though I sort of chose as my verse, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my righteous right hand. That was my verse, but it didn't really click yesterday as I was sort of thinking, okay, how am I going to put this? I'd been thinking about it for a while. There were lots of these thoughts, lots of ideas that of things that I wanted to say. But the angst of how I was going to put this all together was a bit overwhelming. I was pacing the floor and walking around the house, and Lee said, are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine, just thinking. Anyway, so it was kind of a difficult thing to think about what I was going to say today. So Catherine asked me to share about how I experienced peace during my surgery last summer. And for those of you who don't know, a mass was found in my abdomen. And when it was removed, the doctor told Lee that it was 99.9% sure it was cancerous. So that's kind of a shock. When Catherine talked to me about peace, it was just that reality hadn't hit, or what it was, but I was really not that afraid. I asked some questions. It was a shock. It was much more shocking and fearful for my family. I thought, okay, why was I not afraid? And some of it was, as I told someone that I said, I know this is very serious, but I'm not dead yet. So I knew that was something in the future. And the chances of dying were certainly there. I knew that. So there was sort of a calm right from the very beginning. And so how do I explain that? And when Catherine talked to me about speaking, she talked about the ripple of peace that she had talked about, and that got me thinking about a ripple. And then things started to come into focus. So peace was, and hopefully is, a ripple that will just keep on going. And it finally rippled into my comfort with speaking today. And there were such little things that happened during my illness that at the time I thought, oh, they're pretty cool. And they started taking on a new meaning as I thought about it, and I realized they were a source of comfort for me and my family. First of all, I need to tell you, I don't really believe things are a coincidence. Sometimes things seem, why did that happen? Just out of the blue. But I do believe there is meaning behind it, and that if nothing else, they are a gift from God just to bring me joy or whatever. You know how you run into that person unexpectedly, and it's just pleasant. You think, why now? Why now? And I went to emergency room in the morning. I'm going to tell you a few little things that happened and that helped just to calm me. After I had the CAT scan, my niece popped in to see me. She's a nurse at Emerge at Grand River Hospital. Only works maybe 2 days a week, and that was the day she was there. So she's someone I love and I trust. And so it was just nice to have a body there. Somebody else, Lee was there, and that was wonderful. But to have somebody a little more distant, but who I loved and respected and who loved and respected me. And then when the CAT scan showed things that were not good, Lee called Catherine, and apparently he didn't tell her very much, just asked her to come. She had no idea. And she came immediately. I found out later, left a dinner with some friends, and she came, sat with me and Lee. And who holds your head when you're sick? When you're very sick and throwing up. And she just was so patient. The head nurse on the floor where I was finally taken was a woman I've known for a long time. And there was another gift where there was a trusted and respected person. Then the morning of my surgery, my granddaughter called and shared the verse that I read at the beginning about not being afraid, and which, as I was heading for surgery, was so important to me as a wave of fear suddenly washed over me. What if this is it? What if I don't wake up? And I was reminded, don't be afraid. I am with you. The day after my surgery was July the 1st. It was Lee and my 45th wedding anniversary, and it was the first time we'd ever celebrated separately. Lee went to a local restaurant in New Hamburg for fish and chips. Fish and chips is not something we would have on an anniversary celebration if we went out for dinner, but it's something he loves to have, so good for him. His waitress, a former student, wondered about me. And though very emotional, he told her about what was happening in our lives and that it was our anniversary. She shared with him how his encouragement during a track and field event years ago made such a difference for her. Then at the end of the meal, when he was ready to pay, she said, "It's been taken care of." It was a gift from God. It certainly brought some comfort to Lee. And how privileged we are to live in a community where people care. Can't even see anymore. Meanwhile, I'm in my hospital room with three other women. It's July 1st, of course, Canada Day. And because our hospital room faced Waterloo, we were excited to see the wonderful display of fireworks from Columbia Lake. There we were, four women brought together in a hospital room, different ages, different health issues, but celebrating the birth of a country in a most unusual way, together, in a hospital room, laughing and talking. We were building a small community of our own. We had conversations just about life in general and how much we enjoyed these fireworks and the beautiful, they were gorgeous, and of course we would go ooh and ah. And then I discovered through our conversations that I taught the daughter of one of the women and that our daughter Jill taught the granddaughter of another woman. Just such a reminder that we're all connected and that there's such comfort in that. God cared. He cared enough to let us know that we're not alone, and that's part of the ripple effect. And for me, though, the ripple effect of peace started years ago when I was a child. It flowed from my family of origin. As a child, I remember times of difficulty and tragedy in our family, and how the faith of my parents, the support of the church, family, and friends eventually brought them and us as a family to a place of peace. that was modeled for me. Therefore, I cannot minimize the importance of all your prayers, your words of encouragement, the scriptures that you sent me, that I received during the surgery and the weeks that followed. I have a stack of cards and notes and scriptures that children and some of the adults made on that Sunday following my surgery. Your caring concern was one of the ripples that was instrumental to bringing me to peace. I know many of you prayed with your children for my recovery, and I thank God that they see a miracle. Sometimes we pray and we feel like, God isn't answering our prayer. There's no healing that happens. Amanda shared with me a story about Ben as they prayed for me. Ben and I have developed what he calls a secret handshake. It's a high five, low five. And his prayer for me was to give Lois a secret handshake for a long time. What peace that brings to my soul as I think of having a child pray in such a unique way for longevity. This morning, I read from an author that I like to read sometimes, from Richard Rohr. And initially, he says, we were created in the image of God, which is from Genesis 1:26. And he said, we all have the indwelling image of God, but we surrender to the likeness in varying degrees and stages. And I thought, how fitting, as I heard, even as I hear all this morning, and Rachel talking about being still, and having that for a while. She was so diligent and using that, and then it kind of fell by the wayside. And I thought the same thing for me. I felt this peace when I was ill, but yesterday there was this angst. And so there's this varying degrees where we surrender our lives and surrender ourselves to God. So for me, peace did come, I think, at that time through scripture. I love to read scriptures, and especially in times of trouble. I just find it very, very comforting. And I'll share one more. I don't have this written here, but it just came to me now, and that is that one Saturday evening, and this was before I found out that, by the way, the mass I had was not cancer. So some of you who didn't know that, I'm telling you that now, but this was before I knew that. I was reading from Psalm 139, and if you're familiar with Psalm 139, it's a beautiful psalm of God's presence and his love. And I read the piece where it says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And I thought, wow, I guess I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, whether I have cancer or not. And at that point, it just sort of, I felt, okay, I can do this. This is okay. So peace came to me through scripture and through my relationships, my family, a loving family, through my community, through my church. And I am so thankful for all of you for your prayers. And my prayer for you is that in times of turmoil or fear, that you will recognize God breaking through with his peace in whatever way is best for you. It may not be my way. Each one of us is unique, and God gives us his peace in ways that are unique to each of us. Thank you.
Thank you, Lois. And know that we delight in the miracle of your life. Just in closing, I'll have the band come forward. As Lois shared her story of peace, what I want us to think about is how peace ripples and joins us together. And so as we invite God in to be our God of peace, and when we receive that, and then we can be a people of peace, the ripple effects are ongoing and limitless. And so I invite us to invite God's peace into those places that need replacement, and invite us out to be a people of peace
to others. As I shared this morning, there was ways that we can be people who exercise the ushering in of peace. And this final song allows us to do that. So as the band sings a line, there will be that we breathe in something and we breathe out. And so I encourage you to listen to those words and let that be an exercise of breathing in and extending and exhaling. We'll stand together to sing.